The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 7 minutes past 12. This is Man in Line on Manx Radio. And we're open line today. Call 66 13 68. Text on 166 177. WhatsApp on the same number. Email studio at manxradio.com. And have your say about whatever it is that's on your mind. Howard's with us today. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just as a follow-up, I think it was Robert that was on yesterday saying about opening up Derby Airport.
Yeah.
Well, pardon the pun, but it'll be a pie in the sky. But it reminded me, in 1970, I started driving coaches. It was seasonal work. And I worked for a company called Shimmons Tours. They were on Queen's Promenade. The garage is still there, actually, just upside of the Queen's. And but anyway, myself and another driver, who, strangely enough, was the father of one of your presenters, Sue Richardson. It was Alan Richardson. And we had the job of driving from Ronald's Way to Derby, taken passengers up there for transfer. And of course there was very little in the form of any facilities.
Yeah.
But strangely, when we got there, Ronald's Way had cleared, and we took the passengers back. So it was never used. But that might act as a starting point for anybody else that's listening to your program, for when it ceased working. But, as I say, it was used many times after that for the air displays, etc.
Yeah.
But I very much remember, as I say, driving the coach up there full of passengers, full of luggage, and all down the aisle of the coach, which we've frowned upon now, was freight. And we just loaded everything on them and drove up there with the passengers to transfer them to an aircraft that was coming in.
And what date, what year was that again?
1970.
Right.
That was the first year, because after that, Shimmons Tours were bought by Bert Corkle, Tours Isle of Man, and I just transferred allegiance to there. But people remember Shimmons coaches because they were canary yellow. And he had a fleet of coaches here on the island. Mike Marshall used to own it. And but that aside, I'd say that was when I actually drove up there because, well, I wasn't sure which way to go into the airport. And, because, you know, Derby was a long way from Douglas in those days.
Yes.
It was another world. But we got there, and as I say, it was functional, it worked. But on the other hand, to make, well, you couldn't now because the prison's there, but to make that a workable airport would put us bigger figures financially than what the Liverpool London stage has ended up, because you would have to duplicate virtually everything down at Ronald's Way,
yeah,
including the fuel, luggage. You couldn't just transfer the firefighting equipment up there, and those things, I think they had about £300,000 each.
Yeah.
So you got three of them required here, because we're an island. But, yeah, so 1970, and it's still in my mind driving up there. As I say, my first year of driving the coaches, I'd done 6 years on them before I moved to Manx Petroleums, 1976.
But, and what were they, Bedfords?
It's the coaches.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Bedford Duple. And, well, strange enough, Mike Marshall, or Shimmons coaches, people remember what we call a Chinese valve. It had two wheels on the front of the coach and, you know, the normal axle at the back. They were ones built by Bedford, the Bedford valve. And he was the first man to bring one of them over onto the island. That was a 52-seater coach. I drove one of them when before I finished, because they had a fleet of them.
And that pre-power steering, presumably?
That was, yes. Yeah, the front two axles were power steered, and they were a lovely coach to drive and so comfortable, you know, for the passengers. But as I say, just for Derby, that was an ordinary 41-seater I went up in and took passengers, freight and their luggage up to Derby Airport, drove out onto the runway, and then there was no aircraft coming at the time because it had been cancelled and gone down to Runnelsway again. So we just about turned and drove all the way back and took everything back to Runnelsway.
Okay. All right, Howard. Good to hear from you. Good tale. Thanks for calling. 12 minutes past 12. Do you remember a while ago there was that report that Derby may be kept in mothballs, because I suppose we need a standby airport. I mean, not that Runnelsway is in any sort of trouble, but if anything did happen, where would our standby... Presumably it would be Derby, wouldn't it? You couldn't land anything anywhere else. Derby's still got a hard runway. It may need a bit of clearing. And you'd have to miss the prison, but interesting point of view. Thank you, Howard. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to clarify a couple of things that was on your press statement regarding the meeting last night of commissioners. And I'm talking now as a commissioner that was actually involved in this particular incident here, is where my two questions under Standing Order 25 were bounced by the chairman, and they weren't even put on the agenda. Although I had an email from the clerk to say that they were going to be put on the agenda, which is the normal practice. It doesn't mean to say that we'd get an answer from it. We might get an answer, or they could say, well, we'll do it in private, or we'll write to you. And the particular issue I've got here is that this was asked on behalf of some constituents of ours who were actually local authority residents that are in the local authority accommodation, because they received letters from the local authority, virtually, in my opinion, threatening them about the state of their garden. And I'll send one to you, and I'll blank it out and give you a feel of what's happened here. But this is not one, this is about half a dozen that's gone out. And it says that it's come to our attention your property is not currently being maintained in accordance with the standards. My issue here is I wanted to find out what is the current protocol from the housing chairman, Scott Wilson, and find out, A, was he aware of it, or B, could we not use a simple method of just knocking on the door and saying to the tenant, your garden's a bit untidy, can we help you, or do you need any help? And that's the simple question I was asking yesterday. And I wanted to, and the chairman didn't pick up on it, wanted to put that in the public domain so that when people are listening to me today, hopefully on your radio there, if they feel threatened or anything, get in touch with one of the commissioners who's prepared to do something about it. We may not all be always right, but a simple question of saying, you know, is your garden untidy? I know one of the gardens I went to some time ago, it was beautiful. I've never seen such a garden. It's lovely. And that was because of a neighbourhood issue where somebody complains about another neighbour.
Right.
And we don't want to get into that. But the other thing I was going to ask you, it came out last night too. We're not meeting with the... that's the other point I want to mention to Andy was, to your reporter. In Onchan, we have four MHKs. They forgot about Andrew Smith and Mrs. Kane, the minister for the thing. We met them some time ago, and I can't talk to you about that because there's no minutes out yet, whether it's going to be private or public. But I hope some of the national politicians would come on and saying, and that's what I think, if the local authority don't talk to the national politicians, how are we going to feel of what's going on? And and this is all in the public domain last night, so there's no secrets about it. And if people were there, they were listening to it. It was to say to them was that there's a lot of things coming up in a local authority. Mr. Hooper's causing a lot of issues. Never mind the bishop's thing. I thought that had died, to tell you the truth. But the Local Authority Amendment Act, where they're going to put potentially regulations on local authority, you're going to have to do something. It's virtually telling us what to do. But hey, we're the local authority. We look after our own area. And government are not always right, in my opinion. on that, Andy. Yeah. And I'm sorry being too long.
No, just tell me, let's just clarify, which part of Onchan comes under the constituency of Garth, David?
Lakeside.
Oh.
And out toward thing. But technically, and I always take it this way, everybody that lives in Onchan, including the bit that's they've claimed for Garth, as far as I'm concerned, I look after them. And other commissioners, I'm certainly look after them as well. And I'm sure that each of the MHKs talk to one another. And if there's a common issue, we can address it. Because that's what... it's. You don't need to have a war, do you? You need to George or... it's used to remember.
Yeah.
Talked about things, get it sorted before it goes into thing and before you put something in paper, which frightens the life out of people who are tenants, have been tenants for a long time in Onchan, and saying that they feel they're being threatened.
Yeah.
They feel as though they're being put upon.
Well, and that's it, and because some people aren't used to getting official-looking letters like that, particularly ones that address them personally.
Yeah, and it's to, in this particular case, it was husband and wife, and they both have, I can't talk about their names, but anyway, I'm sure if they were listening, they would come on themselves. Maybe they won't, and just say to you, look, she was worried about this, so I went to see her last weekend, and I said, not a problem, I'll put this in the public domain, won't mention your names, but I'll ask a question of the authority and the chairman of that, and the chairman himself, and say to him, and I know for a fact, because I said it last night, if you were listening in the public domain there, that the chairman had been approached by the fellow who does the gardens for a certain number of people, and he said to this fellow, and it's only his word to me, that he didn't want to get involved.
Okay.
That's sad, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
All right, mate.
All right, appreciate it.
Leave you to it.
Thanks
Bye.
For calling today. 18 minutes past 12. That's the story of the Onchan Commissioners' meeting. You can find out the whole story at maxradio.com. Our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper, was there. Oh, and congratulations to Andrew Gibson, who joined the local authority Onchan Commissioners after the resignation of the former Commissioner, John Hamilton. Andrew Gibson will now serve for the next 4 years. The board chose Mr. Gibson to be the new lead member for Environment and Technical Services, as well as the representative on the Eastern Civic Community Site Joint Committee. And of course, you can always find what's happening in local authorities by going to maxradio.com. Lots of messages I didn't get through. Yes, it's a really busy show yesterday, and we're talking about named airports and the fact that named airports after famous people, we invented them with Hall Caine in Ramsey. Ronald Reagan Airport is in Washington, D.C. Columbus, Ohio is the John Glenn International Airport, named after the American politician and astronaut, of course, wasn't he? Jerby definitely gets less fog than Ronald's Way. That was why the RAF put Jerby, put their RAF station in Jerby. Why can't King Corry's statue be near his grave on the corner of Balarock Road in Laxey on the A2 Coast Road? So everybody knows where it is. Isn't it interesting? Not many people. I just wonder how many people, perhaps you, have you been to King Corry's grave? Could you actually take anybody there? Dick just said, I bet if you asked half the people on the island where his grave is, they wouldn't even know, although thousands of people drive past the sign that says King Corry's grave every day. Can I just say a massive thank you, says Barry, Brian, Stuart and Mandy. A massive thank you to everybody who came and supported the Great North Air Ambulance Service at the Southern Show. We had a fantastic day with the general public and we very much appreciate the support and long may it continue, they say. Our solar panels in Peel do very well, says Mark. We were talking about solar panels and whether or not the government should do it incrementally and actually put some solar panels on all their buildings. It would be a start, wouldn't it? And Sammy in Douglas City tells me, yes, Scotty's well-known saying was, she cannot take it, Captain. That's the Starship Enterprise we're talking about. You can't change the laws of physics. So thanks for those messages yesterday and many more as well. A beautiful day in Douglas on the Douglas Quay. People sitting in the sunshine outside cafes and bars, taking the sights that you get to see. Nuisance is a real eyesore. Green net, awful. It needs sorting out, says Jules. Well, apparently the owner wants to give it back to the government because he didn't get planning on it. We were talking to Charles Gard yesterday about the planning situation and the fact that at the meeting, he got 3 minutes. 3 minutes to say, and actually he won it. So the King Ori statue is going up, but there we are, 3 minutes. Did anybody pick up on a comment by Michelle Haywood when talking about Timwell members paying for parking? Maybe she let it slip when she said when MHKs are working from home. Well, I think they are allowed to work from home. I mean, apart from being in the chamber, an MHK is always on duty, I'm told. There's a garden on King Edward Road, the top of Lagbirrock, where the weeds are taking over on the main pavement. It's a disgrace and an eyesore. I have to walk my dog on the road when I come to it, a very annoyed Mark. Well, it's that time of year when hedges start to grow, isn't it? Hedges really come out into the pavement. And if you walk along a pavement, particularly if you're walking a pram or perhaps you're on a mobility scooter or you're walking a dog, it can really gall you, can't it, when somebody just lets that hedge sprawl out into the middle of the pavement. Well, there is something you can do about it, and that is contact your local authority. Alice says, Andy, regarding solar and the fact that it doesn't work. Oh, somebody was saying it doesn't work here. I've just tuned in, so you might like to read out my text from yesterday. We get hundreds of them, Alice. What was it? I just checked the UK National Grid live feed and solar is putting 14% into UK generation, so not to be sniffed at. Also, there's lots of sunshine in the north of the Isle of Man. And I see Ramsey Commissioners say they're saving £3,000 a year on their electricity bill after installing solar on their roof. It really should have repaid investment in 5.5 years from now. If you want to, there's actually a website and I think an app called GridWatch or something like that, where you can actually spot what's happening on the UK grid. It will tell you exactly how their constituent parts of their electricity feed is coming in, whether it's fossil fuels or renewables, other sources, coming down the interconnector from Belgium, Denmark, France, Ireland, Netherlands, Norway, and the Isle of Man. We've got an interconnector and sometimes we export. So maybe that's time for Manx Utilities to get one of those here so we can see what our contribution is and also how much we're taking from other places. All solar panels installed on government and commissioners' buildings need to go out to tender, says 222. Nothing came out from Ramsey Commissioners for their solar. They have to go to tender, is that so? Regarding the Anne says, the MHKs are always working 24/7 to protect the government, not the constituents' interests, usually against people's best interests, says Anne on 011. Anne, will you be standing next year then for Keys next year? The election is September next year, September 2026. So I got a very long email in from a gentleman who... I can't read it all out. It would take 20 minutes to read it out. But to sum it all up, he just said, the people who come on Manyline seem to think politics is a spectator sport. It is not. On the Isle of Man, the barrier to entry into politics is tiny. So anybody, if they want to, of the correct age, obviously you have to be over 16, 18, can be a politician. So to moan about something and yet not want to participate requires reflection. Can I say that again? To moan about something and yet to not want to participate will require reflection. I.e., if you moan and you don't want to get involved, you should have a think about it. Here's Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just before I talk about energy, I think Howard was mentioning earlier about coaches, wasn't he?
He was, Shimmins.
Yeah, I just noticed I was going on the prom yesterday and I noticed a coach called Turbo Style Coaches, dark blue. They're based in Crawley, and they do usually do tours around Sussex and Surrey, which is over 320 miles away. But I noticed that they are accredited with a political lobbying group called UK Inbound. And in their mission statement, they say, we want to see visas improved and fast-tracked from countries like China and India, with processing times for visas reduced to 5 days.
Right.
I'm just kind of wondering why a coach touring company that's only ever worked from Crawley south towards Sussex and well, they're in West Sussex down to Surrey. I wonder why they're up here. It seems quite a long way to come.
Well, I wonder. And where were they stopping? Did you see people on board the coach? Were they at a particular hotel?
But no, it was just getting off on the promenade. It's quite a mix of people getting off it. It seemed mostly probably Indians, I would say. But it looked interesting because it was such a different group that was coming on and off the coach. So it kind of caught my eye. So I just had a quick look and I noticed that it seems to be a long way from home. It would be like Isle of Man tours going down to Sussex and doing runs around. It would be, you know, it'd be kind of interesting for that to go in the opposite direction, wouldn't it?
And what were they called again? Turbo what?
Turbo Style Coaches.
Okay.
Just wonder what it might be an interesting story as to how they've thought of a business model where they drive 6 or 7 hours up the motorway and then come here on the boat.
Well, the Isle of Man's a very nice place to come. Maybe they're just on holiday.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to do all kinds of bespoke trips and private, you know, you can have private things with them. But I would have thought, you know, with the cost of the boat and everything for a coach, I mean, it's bad enough for a 5.5 metre or less car, let alone a big coach like that. So
there are still plenty of coaches that come over. You see them. I think I'm trying to remember, is it the Chester House? They used to come quite a lot. And certainly, I think, at the Empress, they have coach parties. You see them parked on the prom. So interesting to note. Anyway, you were talking about energy.
Just somebody texted into you earlier saying about solar had measured 14%.
Yeah.
Well, 14% of what for a start? Because this is electricity, which is only 20% of the needs of the UK, the other 80% being heat.
Yeah.
So the 14%, and it doesn't work too well at night, and it doesn't work well in the winter time. So it's not exactly reliable. But what I was interested was a recent report in May from Ørsted. Their report says that project costs have risen by 50% since 2020, threatening the industry's viability. Their words, not mine. And Vestas wind turbines, which I think were touted for here, since 2020 have increased in cost to the operators to purchase by 65%. So that's a heck of an increase in the cost of these wind turbines. So I don't know how that's going to affect the capital outlay if they ever do manage to get the Kervai farm in, because they were talking about that make, and it's affected all the other ones as well. So it doesn't matter if you're buying General Electric or anything, they're all massively increasing. Part of it's down to supply chain, but other parts are things like copper and steel are through the roof. And part of the reason for that is, I think, China controls a lot of the pricing of that. And it seems to be that the mining certificates that are able to be got from the West are declining, and also the energy available to do that mining. So it seems that China are kind of having us over a barrel with the price on the raw materials.
So what's your gut feeling about Kervai, Julian? Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of questions that are coming up. I did a bit of a deep dive on Wardell Armstrong. They worked for Anglia One, which was a huge wind project off East Anglia, but they were only involved in the archaeological survey of the bit where the cable comes on shore. So it doesn't seem, when you look through, that they're actually an expert on wind farms per se. They're more to do with the environmental impact assessments. So when I was at one of the meetings that Wardell Armstrong organised with the MUA on the island, they were making some pretty crazy assertions about that load factor, the amount of time that the wind turbine will produce energy, where, you know, the UK government and also the wind consortium, which are like the directors of Ørsted and Vattenfall and everyone, they talk about 25% of the time that these things are producing energy, whereas Wardell were saying that the Isle of Man suddenly is going to produce anywhere between 62 and 74.
Right.
So that was the question that I asked a long time ago. I mean, how is it that somewhere, and I've spoken to people in Ronnig, and they're not aware that it's the wind conditions are anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would, for context, that would be more than Shetland, which is, what, 430 miles north of us in the middle of the North Sea.
You didn't answer my question.
So I don't know.
You didn't answer, Julian, do you think it's going to happen?
In the normal scheme of things, if everyone does their due diligence, absolutely not, because it can't possibly work.
Right.
What will happen is it will become evident that they will have half the lifespan that the financial calculations are saying, and it will produce three times less energy than the financial calculations are saying. You'll also have all the hidden costs, which we hear about LCOE, which is levelized cost of electricity, where you try and match it to a gas turbine like Portrose, but they're not talking about the system side of it, with all the extra equipment, the batteries, the smoothing of the frequencies. That will cost hundreds of millions.
Okay.
And then we've got to, they're throwing in this necessity for an interconnector, but I'm not sure these days if it's wise to connect us to the UK when they're obviously struggling, when they're shutting down all their power stations and they're having problems with air frequencies and near blackout in January, where they were forced to pay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. A note in from Liz, who just said there was a coach from Fraserburgh in the northeast of Scotland here last week. They come from absolutely everywhere. There's one from that one from West Sussex. And John's with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. The caller you had earlier on about driving coaches when Rundlesway was closed, that brought back memories to me, because round about that time, I was driving coaches for Crennel's Garage in Remsey, and they worked quite closely with Corkle's Vonken, so it may have been a bit later, but I remember we had to pick up passengers at the Douglas bus station terminal, because that's at the back, there was an air terminal, and take them to Rundlesway, check them in, back on the coach, Jerby, and then we had to wait for an incoming flight, do the same thing in reverse, back to Rundlesway, and then back to Douglas, and we kept doing it. I think it was at least 2 days, if not 3 days, we were doing this. And I always remember, because I always thought my coach was a bit special, it had a diesel engine, four-speed box with a twin-speed back axle. Yeah, I think it had been designed for motorways, and my God, that coach would go. But we certainly did it for 2 days anyway, back and forward, back and forward, because obviously Corkus didn't have enough coaches at the time to do it, so they called in two from Ramsey to do it. But I do remember that vividly now. When he was talking, your earlier chap, I do remember that. Literally a shuttle service, Douglas, Rundlesway, Jerby, and back. It may have been 72, but on the other hand, I'm not sure. Those were the days.
And it was a comfortable coach to drive, was it?
Oh, God, yes. Power steering, as I say, four-speed box, twin-speed back axle, Bedford Dupal, and it was a lovely coach.
And were you responsible for cleaning your own coach?
Yes, you were, really. Yeah, there were no cleaners there. We used to wash them ourselves and brush them out, and But at these 2 days, I mean, nobody cared about that. It was just a case of go, 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 you know.
Okay. All right. Great memory. Good. Thanks for calling today, John. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye now.
Thanks now. 25 before one. Anne. Hello, Anne.
Hello. I'm ringing really to make a complaint about the Public Sector Pensions Authority. because I'm 82 years old, and last October I received a form which I have to fill in, which is a declaration of entitlement to the pension. I'm perfectly compos mentis, so I did it and posted it off. About 2 months later, I received another form saying I hadn't filled it in. So I did this again and sent it off and forgot all about it. I will tell you that I do have a heart condition. This morning, I have just received, dear Mrs. Kelly, pension suspension notice, failure to complete declaration of entitlement.
What?
As you can imagine, my pension payments will be suspended from July the 2025. Now, I have to tell you that this is not the first time. Last year, I had the same problem, but when I sent the second one in, it resolved the matter. But I'm so cross and so angry. I feel I've got to make this public because it's got to be stopped, because it's obviously a very inefficient authority. And I do think my treatment has been disgraceful. And I have rung them this morning, and I'm told there's not many people around, and that the person who is responsible is not there. So I thought, right, I've had enough.
Not
why
there?
Why should I drive in?
What do they mean?
Look for a park.
What do they mean, and not there?
Well, she's not in the office. The lady who can resolve the issues according to the signature and according to the young lady I spoke to is Catherine Devine, operations manager, and she's not there at the moment.
So,
have you spoken
to anybody before today?
I've only got this letter today.
Oh, I see, right.
It's just come through the post.
And it's a bolt out of the blue, obviously.
Well, it is completely. I'm completely shattered. My pension payments will be suspended from July 2025. And well, I have filled the form in twice.
Well,
now, all I think I can do now is to get into the authority and go in and sit there until something's done. But I'm getting past this. I'm 82. I shouldn't be having to deal with things like this.
I think one port of call is to speak to your MHK. And
I have rung my MHK.
Who's your MHK?
And I've just Lord Brennan.
Kate Lord Brennan.
I've rung her and it's on an answer phone. Now, just let me tell you my problems. I did the message on the answer phone, and then I'm going to click off, and then suddenly all these messages come up. Do this, do that, do the other. And I have to say, I haven't a clue whether the message stayed on her answer phone or whether it's been deleted or what. I would assume just after you've done the message, you should just press the red and, yeah, and go off.
Okay, Anne, have you got a pen there and some paper?
Yes.
Okay, I want you to write down this number, 457...
457...
511.
511.
Okay, that's Mr. Rob Callister, MHK. He's the Vice Chair of the Public Sector Pension Authority.
Right,
and
he
will take a call from you the moment you put the phone down to me.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, just at 457-511.
457-511.
Mr. Callister.
Mr. Collis, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, and let me know how you get on.
I will, thank you.
Find a hidden gem in the Isle of Man, the Abbey Restaurant Balasala. This old country house offers a relaxed and sophisticated atmosphere where you can wind down with unique and interesting fresh food and drinks. From dinner with fine wines to tea and exquisite cakes. Enjoy our fantastic lunch menu with fresh specials or join us for afternoon tea and dinner. To book, click the abbey.im, find the Abbey on Facebook or call 822-393.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
You're invited to celebrate the Woodburns' 130th birthday on Saturday the 9th of August, 12 till 8 in the gardens opposite for a free family fun day. Face painting, bouncy castle, garden games and magic with cookie and candy. Proudly supporting Crossroads and sponsored by local businesses.
This Sunday, it's a special edition of Manx Radio's Chill Out Show live from Meta Lounge in Peel. Join us between 7 and 9pm for laid-back summer vibes, drinks with a view and great food available. All served up at this relaxed beach cafe at the far end of the prom. Sink into the sounds, enjoy the sunset and let the weekend fade out in perfect style. The Manx Radio Chill Out Show on Sunday the 3rd of August from 7pm at Meta Lounge in Peel, where the vibe meets the tide.
Flocking to the sea.
Check Meta Lounge on Facebook for more.
Crowds of people wait for me.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 18 minutes before one, and it's Brian now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Andy. I get the same problem as that woman just got, gets every year.
Right.
They say, we'll suspend your pension if you don't fill the form in. Well, I'm not very good at filling forms in. But what I do... I know she doesn't want to drive into Douglas, but I always drive in, go and see, and they are so good behind the counter. I mean, they'll come and sit down and fill the form in for you. That's all you have to do.
This is a Prospect Hill, is it?
No problem. Pardon?
It's a Prospect Hill.
Well, it's thingy house, isn't it?
Oh, Markwell House.
Pension place.
Oh, you're right, okay.
Markwell House, yes. Markwell House,
yeah.
That's all she has to do. But she doesn't want to drive into Douglas, she said, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's just weird. It's weird that she's filled two forms in and they've not acknowledged the forms that she's filled in.
Well, it's a strange thing, isn't it? But, as I say, I just drive in and park out of Douglas and walk in, you know what I mean? Because I'm still okay. I'm fit enough, you know. And... that's all I do, because I am completely useless at doing forms. But that's all she has to do. But the letter you get is quite intimidating, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad you sorted it out yourself as well.
Okay, thanks, Andy.
Cheers now. I'm not against the King Ory statue, but I wonder whose idea it was and who's paying. Well, it was the president of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly. Has it already been paid for and created? Yes, it's been built, it's been sculpted, it's been created already, and apparently it's ready to be mounted in St John's, and no public money has been used in it at all. It's all been funded privately, which I think the president of Tynwald organised. I think it's in his final year as well. Of course, the air shows were held at Jerby. The officers' mess was still operative in the 80s, according to Wikipedia. Makes very interesting reading, says John. Do you remember the... I'm trying to remember, when was the last air show, the one with the Harrier? That was fantastic. Was it 2000? Regarding yesterday's calls, 110, UK has brilliant daylight hours for solar PV. I installed a system on my house. It's paid off already. People are investing in because of the fantastic payback and return, says Eric. Lots of people love their PVs, don't they? All solar panels installed on government and commissioners again need to go out to tender. And a message in also, beautiful day in Douglas Bay. 14 panels on my roof for solar. I'm getting 3 kilowatts. It works just fine. Guess what? I don't get a bill from the MUA. They pay me, says WhatsApper 236. Travel companies hire coaches from all kinds of transport firms and also use their own, says Mike at the Welbeck. I just put some petrol in my car in Columbus, Ohio, listening. First time I've ever noticed this particular notice on the pump. It's good to see how much tax we pay. For your information, premium fuel I use is $4.39 a gallon, which is about £3.29 a gallon. And there's a big sign. This is for American petrol pumps. Federal tax, state tax and total tax. Maybe that should happen on the Isle of Man. We pay a lot of fuel duty and, of course, we pay VAT. Regarding solar, while at the Island Games, we stayed at Kirkwall Grammar School and noticed it had solar panels on the roofs. When asking a member of staff, they said some of it goes back into the grid, so maybe our government should start with our schools. Well, this has been mentioned and I don't know how you feel about this. The government keeps on telling us what a good idea it is. Do you think they should lead by example and just put every government building with solar panels on the roof? Turbo-style coaches website promotes a five-day trip to the Isle of Man in September. £800 to £900. They've got trips all over the UK. They token over other companies. Crawley is near Gatwick International Airport in West Sussex. Regarding Anne and the coaches, thank you to 528. Good to hear from you. After experiencing what can only be described as a stone wall, while putting a simple, straightforward planning application for a basic front porch, I've given up. It was refused three times. Unfortunately, it's old and outdated, archaic process, so it needs reform. But as with most government departments, there's absolutely no common sense and joined-up thinking. I'm demoralised, says Big John in Ramsey. MHKs are working. Yes, that one's been duplicated. Thank you for that. And more messages in concerning... Okay, I received the same letter as the lady who's just been on to you. My daughter rang them up and was told that it's been sent by a third party, who is the post office. I filled my form in last November. I believe 1,000 letters have been sent out this time. That's from 706. I worked in Isle of Man government for over 30 years. If I have to submit paperwork, I take it in. Then I get somebody to sign and date stamp the second copy for my records. Ridiculous, I know, says 535, but it saved a lot of hassle in the past. Thank you, 535. I was in Castletown Square on Friday afternoon. This is from 623. And was so disappointing to see with the attitude of those on the Manx BirdLife stand. They were there to talk about swifts and celebrate their population. I went up to the stand and no one was engaging at all. The people behind the stand just carried on talking amongst themselves. Didn't seem interested. It was late in the day. It was 4:15 and they were closing at 5. But I thought it was really poor. In the end, I just walked away when I was about to make a donation. And didn't, says Anne. Hello, James 623. You keep referring to the 29p per kilowatt hour, but you need to remember that regardless of whether or not Eire Stain goes ahead in the south of the Isle of Man, the price of electricity is going to rise over the years. Nothing stays the same. Understood. But it is a benchmark. A benchmark as to what the price of electricity is. If we all remember that we're paying a roughly 29p, if you want it, 29p is 5 and 10 pence per kilowatt hour. What's it going to be in the future? Remember, just keep that in your mind. My opinion, but whoever prepared the letter for the pensioners and whoever isn't doing their job properly needs to be removed and somebody with empathy put in their place. We don't treat our pensioners like this on the Isle of Man, says this correspondent. What do you think?
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments Limited. Their quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom properties offer countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. These spacious homes are built for modern energy efficient living with ground floor underfloor heating and air source heat pumps. Plus contemporary kitchens, beautiful bathrooms, landscaped exteriors and more. Reserve yours now. Kell Developments Limited, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living, redefined.
find.
Out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannin Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
From boxing
to badminton,
football
to fencing,
it's the Utmost Community Sports Fun Day, Saturday the 2nd of August at Nobles Park.
From 12 noon to 4pm, there'll be a variety of sports to take part in, whatever your age and ability.
Plus, entrance is free for all, so get the whole family involved and give a new sport a go.
The Utmost Community Sports Fun Day, Saturday the 2nd of August at Nobles Park. Sponsored by Utmost and your nation station, Manx Radio.
Tonight here on Manx Radio at 5.30, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
We get the results from the Southern District Agricultural Show.
I find out more about two key changes at the top of the Manx Wildlife Trust.
And we also have a preview for the Royal Manx Agricultural Show from the Secretary, Carol Kenyuk.
That's all in Countryside here on Manx Radio tonight at 5.30. And you can download the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes before one, the bus service, the 8S, Peel to Craigneish via the airport. Port Erin and Port St Mary is scheduled to be heard by the Road Transport Licensing Committee either today or the 7th of August. Now, they don't publish their agenda, so we don't know whether the bus service from Peel to Craigneish via the airport, Port Erin and Port St Mary, is being discussed today. But if it is, then we'll tell you about it in the news. Thank you, Kath, for that request. Happy to pass that on. Castletown Golf Hotel. When is this going to be refurbished or rebuilt? As there's a dearth of hotels in the south of the Isle of Man, says John. If they're building extra ones in Douglas, obviously there's going to be one where the old village used to be. And I think Mr. Lord is building one where the Salvation Army Citadel used to be. That's two more new ones in Douglas. The one, I think, the new Travel Lodge, isn't it, in the old village, is going to be open for TT next year, perhaps. Perhaps, I think it is. If we had the money to upgrade, we would, says Lucy George from the Welbeck, dropped a note in. But if we're not getting tourism, where are we going to get the money? The money that we do have currently goes on the stuff that needs to be done, and there's not much left over for what we want to do. And Lucy sends me a note to remind me that the Welbeck Hotel was regularly voted favourite hotel in Douglas. Well done to all the George family. They've been there for years and years and years. And we were talking, do you remember yesterday, Norman Mackey was on from the Ascot saying that we need a tourism minister to actually look after what's going on for tourists. It's all been swept into the Enterprise Department, into Visit Isle of Man, so there's nobody, and Visit Isle of Man, from what I remember, engage with partners. They don't promote the Isle of Man that much. It would be interesting to know. I got a message from a correspondent in the south of Ireland, in the Republic, saying that they very rarely see the Isle of Man plugged in the south of Ireland. So how on earth are they supposed to build up some trade on the steam packet? Thank you, Bonzo. Regarding the steam packet, people have been encouraged into a misapprehension. The people of the Isle of Man don't own the steam packet. It's owned by the Treasury as the 100% shareholder. The steam packet operates and is legally obliged to do so like any other limited company, as it's operated at arm's length. The Treasury wants to squeeze the last penny out of the steam packet given, together with the Liverpool Ferry Terminal and the Manxman. It'll cost them £300 million in borrowing via the sustainability bond, which is why the government will not nationalise the steam packet unless the government has changed. Thanks for clarifying that. And it's always worth pointing out when, and nothing changes really, when I started doing Man in Line in 1998, it's that long, everybody was slagging off the steam packet then because they'd just bought the Ben McCree. Remember, everybody hated the Ben McCree when it first came. Now, it's deified as an icon of the Isle of Man. Everybody hated the Ben. So, when you criticise the steam packet, and remember what Bonzo said, It's owned by the Treasury. And the people, I mean, Mr. Thompson, Brian Thompson, who's the managing director, has to operate it as a limited company. He has no jurisdiction to vary things because his boss is Treasury. Now, Treasury may be, they may be public servants, they may be civil servants, and they may be elected representatives, but we don't own the steam packet. It is a kind of nice distinction that has to be made. Oh, I've got a long note in. I'm not going to do this now. I'll do it tomorrow. David dropped me a note in, and it's regarding the costs of the old nurses' home, the building costs that Manx Development Corporation, and David's done some calculations about how much he thinks the building work cost for the land and the exterior structure. Approximately, he's going to, I'll give this to you tomorrow, and just regarding how much it works out per apartment for a price compared to other properties, say, around Douglas, and also how he thinks they're going to try and get the money back, and really how the financial model works. I'll give you that tomorrow.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
In the meantime, I got a note from, I think it came out of the Department of Infrastructure, and it's how they consider a vehicle may be abandoned, the conditions apply. So, no current registered owner, it's untaxed, it's stationary for a significant period, it's in poor physical condition, which may include missing number plates, and it is unroadworthy. Now, the Department of Infrastructure's got legal powers to address vehicles that may be causing offence due to being left stationary on the road for a significant period and being in poor physical condition and or unroadworthy. In such cases, they consider criteria 3 to 5 above. That is stationary, poor physical condition or unroadworthy. Have you got an old vehicle near you? How long's it been there? And that's it today. If you want to get in touch out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Enjoy your Tuesday.
WINT.